Outdoor adventures come with a certain amount of risk, and not all of those dangers can be blamed on climate change.
You know, I've spent most of my adult life as a guide and outdoor instructor, and I'm very good about assessing danger and mitigating risks.
But sometimes even the best trained adventurers don't make the safest choices. Dave Anderson is a wilderness guide and educator. He tells us, in his own words, his story of near misadventure in Zanskar, Nepal.
This adventure in northern India actually started in Nepal. I was hiking with a friend of mine, and we bumped into some people, and they told us about this place where a large community of people were cut off during the winter time from civilization, and the only way into their remote valley was walking up this frozen river. So we hired some local folks who were going back to their village to kind of guide us and carry our stuff up through this labyrinth of canyons to Zanskar. If you can imagine, you're in a very narrow ice skating rink, and above you are 1,000-foot walls, and the sound echoes throughout these walls just because of the unique sounds, the ice cracking, people's voices echoing. It almost feels like a cathedral. It's not just a lake, it's a flowing river underneath. And sometimes the ice was not completely frozen. Sometimes the ice was very thin. All the local people usually had a walking stick to tap the ice because they could tell just by the sound how thick the ice was. This one porter was going through this section where there was open water. The water was kind of on top of the ice even, and all of a sudden we heard this scream. Sering had fallen into the water. These folks all wear traditional clothes, and what that means is a very long woolen robe. The instant that thing got in the water, it went from weighing 5 pounds to 100 pounds. Sering, who doesn't know how to swim, is kind of grabbing the ice, and he's being pulled down current, and about 200 feet down current, the river goes underneath the ice. The other porters were sort of frozen in place, not really sure of what to do. And unfortunately, my adrenaline kind of got the best of me in this situation. And so I saw Sering flopping around in the water, and I ran up to him, and I went to grab his hand. And then I realized not only was he in trouble, but now I was in trouble too, because my feet started slipping towards the edge of the ice as well. You know, everything kind of slowed down. Your brain's, you know, rapidly trying to figure out what the best course of action was. And so I kind of looked back to where my two companions were. They were behind me, and I kind of did a quick mental calculation and realized that even though they were running towards me, there'd be no way that they would reach me before we both were in the water. Sering definitely had my arm very tightly, and I never thought about letting go of him, but he had me so tightly that even if I wanted to let go of him, that probably wouldn't have happened. I could see my feet just slowly sliding across the bumpy ice. Right before my foot went into the water, I looked down because I had stopped. Basically, just a little bump of ice the size of a jelly bean had wedged against the outside of my foot, and that was enough to stop me from sliding in. At that point, I had so much adrenaline and energy coursing through my body that I just hauled him out of the water one-handed. I think it was a little bit of the mother lifting the car off the trapped infant scenario. We stood there for a second. We kind of hugged each other, realizing how close we had both come to not being around in the world too much longer. And then we just started hiking really fast to get him to a sunny spot and get a fire lit and change him out of his wet clothes. This area, it's a remote area, but people are actually going up and down this every day. There are kids that are going to school in this big town at the base of the river, and so people are escorting these kids down. So there's other people around, and there are other porters there. So it was kind of a whole group of people, and they kind of said to me, what is your name? I said, my name is Dave, which sounds a little bit like one of the sort of holy figures that they revere, Devi. And so they basically started saying, Dave is a god, Dave is a god, you know, in kind of broken English. I said, no, Dave's not a god. And then I said, Dave is cold. And they looked down at my feet that were all wet, and they kind of got the joke. The experience even became more powerful as we got into the valley, and I got to meet Sarang and his 8 kids and his wife. Seeing his kids and kind of imagining what would have happened if he wasn't around to provide for him and all those kind of things, you know, we were all connected by that shared experience of sort of something that was almost tragic, holding a person's arm who is in the water and in peril. That definitely will stay with me the rest of my life.
Dave Anderson is a wilderness guide and educator, and our story was produced by Zoe Sobel. Some poetry is eternal.
The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2.
But some poetry just begs to be rewritten, and I'll do that just ahead on Only a Game from NPR.